Again, it occurred to me. I know, Mags, you speak 4 languages?
Well, maybe. I feel comfortable saying I speak 3.
But you know what I'm saying? You have a good understanding of a 4th.
Yeah, and then I dabble in 2 more. But I speak 3 languages. Yeah.
Fluently, we'll say, but also I would say you know enough in some various languages. So I guess where my question comes from is like, where does English stand in those, in the sense where, like, what's the hardest part about it? Because I know it can be hard for, it's hard for me, and I've been speaking it 31 years, but is it the grammar? Is it the verb conjugation? Is it the structure? Because I remember even real fast going through, like, learning Dutch, trying to on Duolingo, and to me it was like the verb structure was backwards to me. It was like everything was thrown at the end when everything in English is either in the middle or before. So, like, is that how it is in, like, Danish and German and Dutch and, like, or where people kind of really struggle with it?
No, the word order is definitely somewhat different. But I honestly, like, I see the thing with English is that we start learning it so early on in the Netherlands. And then it's around us a lot, right? Because it's on TV all the time, and it's on, and especially now because it's on computers all the time and stuff like that. But even when I was younger, and maybe that was sort of a weird situation for my particular circumstance, but my dad was, he worked at the university, and he often, there would be like guest lecturers from different places around the world that he would then on weekends invite to our home, so they wouldn't just be kind of sitting by themselves, right? So English was used in our home with some regularity, which means that I was learning it in a more natural way than you would if you're just learning it from a book. But I did study English in education, so I taught English, and I think the thing that people struggle with a lot, or the thing that my pupils would struggle with a lot, is spelling, because it's weird and very it's just weird. And then I think verb conjugation is a big part of it. And I still sometimes, and this is like, I think there's so much pressure sometimes on getting all the grammar correct for these kids. And a lot of the kids that I would teach were like on vocational training and stuff like that. So my sort of philosophy around it was a lot more about, like, just be able to communicate your point, right? Like, who cares if you say, I wrote or I have written? It's not like an English speaker can't understand what you mean, right? Like, and that's maybe not the right attitude for a teacher.
No, but I see what you mean. It's like, anytime I've chatted with anyone who English is not their first language. I mean, I've interviewed plenty of people, right? Like, whether it was on past versions of the shows on LinkedIn, like, a lot of people, especially living over in the Netherlands and the UK, a lot of people I mingled with or met or had on the show, English wasn't their first language. I remember people being nervous, you know, like, oh, I'm nervous because my English isn't the greatest. And I would always say, like, your English is far better than mine. And that's all I speak. Like, because everything has been broken. Yeah, we go to English and language arts, you know, in high school and in school, and you learn structure, but it's such a casual language, like, kind of like you're saying. It's like, as long as your point is across. I mean, I say stuff out of conjugation in everyday life.
That's absolutely true, but I have the same when, you know, I have friends here who are trying to speak Dutch, and you sometimes ask me stuff about Dutch and stuff like that, which is cool. But I also always say, like, first of all, give me a warning when you're going to start speaking Dutch to me, because my brain needs needs heads up, because otherwise I'm going to try and create English out of the sounds you're making, and that's not going to work. And then you think that you're not speaking Dutch correctly, but it's because I'm trying to interpret it as English. And that's just communication error there. But But even when people are practicing their Dutch with me, I always say to them, I will only correct you if what you are saying means something significantly different from what you mean to say, right? Because I don't care if you say het paard or de paard, I still understand what you mean, even though you're using the wrong, technically the wrong article for the word horse, right? But it's not like I can't understand what you mean, or I can't, or you're, or suddenly it means something very different. Now, I've also had people who would, you know, I once had someone who wanted to say my bicycle is broken and accidentally said my bicycle is a condom. Now, that's a very significant difference in meaning. And so I told her not to say that again. Because that is weird. Also, we laughed about it a lot because it is hilarious. But but it's that kind of stuff, right? Like, so long as what you're saying is... I always think, like, it's so much more important for us to learn how to communicate and to learn strategies, how we can communicate in a language when we're not, when we don't know the word. Like, what do you do? How do you deal with that? And what are your strategies to compensate for vocabulary you don't have? And of course, there are situations in life where it is important that you speak good English or good Dutch, and grammar can be important. I'm not saying that it never is, but when you're learning a second language, and especially when you're going to use that language just to get around when you're on holiday or to get around in the country that you're living in to do your day-to-day things, then I think that the foundational focus needs to be on your ability to communicate more so than your ability to formulate a grammatically satisfying sentence.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I was only in the Netherlands for 7 months and I tried to learn, you know, on Duolingo, and I tried some YouTube videos and I tried to really grasp just some of the basic stuff. But I even had people tell me that, like, I mean, you know, I was living out more in the countryside, but when I was with you, obviously, if we needed something translated, you had it covered. But even when I was with you, like, most of the people that we would meet or see or even places we would go, like, everyone spoke English. So it's like, you want to submerge yourself into a culture, you want to get involved, but it's like I had, I guess you could say, the benefit of most people I ran into, even in a small town, that would communicate with me in English, or they would look at me and be like, okay, this kid's obviously not from here, or even just the way I said hello. And it was just very like, oh, I'm just going to talk. So anytime I go to Albert Heijn or anytime I go to Jumbo, like, I could really just be like, hey, quick question. And instantly everyone's like, oh yeah, what's going on? I never felt like I had to, like, approach the situation in Dutch. The only time I ever got where I couldn't communicate, I realized, was if it was people that were older, like 75 plus. They either probably understood a little bit or just were like, oh, I'm not going to bother asking this kid. But I would get asked in the Veluwe all the time. People would be like, oh, which way do I go? And, you know, I would just kind of be like, if you speak English, I can help you, you know? And it was very instant. So I realized that even in a place like the Netherlands, and where I lived, as you know, is not in a very busy area or very populated area, but I still got around by only speaking English where I was at there.
It's a complaint that people have as well, that Dutch people are so quick to switch languages, because it also means that it makes it, I mean, Dutch is already a language that isn't that easy to learn, actually. And then on top of that, Dutch people tend to not speak Dutch with you, which then makes it even harder to learn it, because you need to use a language in order to master it. And when I lived in Denmark, I obviously lived with the host family, and my host father didn't speak anything except for highly accented Danish. And that was really hard in the beginning, but what was good about it was that the family would then not just simply switch to English, because you're not going to suddenly default to a language that one of the family members doesn't understand, right? And so I had to learn to speak Danish, and I did, and I speak highly accented Danish, because that's the people that I was around. So that's how I learned to speak it. But, And although that may feel really hard in the beginning, it is, it turned out to be such a blessing because it meant that I just had to, you know, and I think it feels like a really welcoming thing when you come to the Netherlands and everybody just speaks English to you. But if you then don't pick up the language after a couple of years, Dutch people will go like, oh, and you didn't even learn our language. And I'm like, well, you never gave them the opportunity. You never, you know. And I know that I'm super guilty of that as well. I mean, I barely speak Dutch myself these days. Although more so again, but I hadn't for years.
It's in specific situations for you though. It's in very specific situations where you need to speak it. But everyday banter, obviously you and I chatting, but like most people you would converse with on a daily basis in The Hague, it's going to be in English. So it's like, obviously it's your native first language, Dutch, but you're not using it in an everyday context that you and I are when we chat every day, right? Like it's...
Well, yeah. Well, and that, but also the distance that I sort of had from Dutch, I spoke only English for so long, and in really, in really emotionally charged situations as well, which I think is when, so a lot of my language then just sort of defaulted to English, because I really didn't speak any Dutch for a couple of years. Because we lived in Scotland, and Stuart is Scottish. So even when we lived in the Netherlands, we would speak English in the house because, you know, I can express myself as, if not more, nuanced and specific in English as I can in Dutch. And his Dutch is, you know, supermarket Dutch, I always used to say. Like, yeah, you could get by with the basics, but that's not the language that you want to speak with your, you know, your intimate partner or with your friends. Like, and so, you know, it sounds really weird, but I often feel more comfortable expressing myself in English than I do in Dutch. I feel much more confident in English than I do in Dutch.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that because I always love asking that question to ones that speak multiple languages. Where do you feel the most comfortable, the most expressive? And as you just said, it's English. And why do you think that is? Is it because, like you were saying, you've spoke it so frequently over the last several years, or is it just there's more words to use, it's more freeing? Like, what about it would you say?
I think I don't really, I mean, sometimes there's certain expressions that I really like in Dutch as well, right? Like there's certain expressions where I'm like, oh, that is just so nice. But like, you know, in a previous episode where we spoke about uitwaaien, I love uitwaaien as a word, and there is no real equivalent to that in English, right? So every language has these sort of phrases and expressions that are quite unique and just really lovely. But I think why I became more comfortable in English is, A, I did my teacher training fully in English. So, and I think that teacher training, although I never wanted to be a teacher, standing in front of a group of 30 teenagers builds a level of confidence that is very hard to gain in any other way, I think.
Because they're the ones who would make fun of or laugh about it in the mistakes, right? Like, that's the hard part. Right. You get the younger generation that kind of giggles about it. But the more I've gotten older, the more I've interacted with people around the world, like, I've never once thought, like, oh, their English sucks. Because I know it's hard, you know? I know it's difficult. I know it's hard to learn. I mean, again, me learning Spanish in high school and kind of losing it and then trying to learn Dutch again, like, living over there, it's tough to do. To learn something else, especially when we're not comfortable doing it or not frequently doing it.
But I also just think, like, and we've all been in classrooms, you know, we've all been teenagers, and when you would get a substitute teacher or a trainee teacher, you would make their life harder than it needed to be, right? That's just kind of how that goes. So I think that's where some of that comes from. And then I just spoke English all the time from then onward. So for the last 20 years, my main language has been English. And it's also the period in my life where I have done the most introspection and the most, you know, therapy and all of these sort of things that really make you develop a sort of more nuanced way to express yourself. And so I learned to express ideas like that in English, because I was doing all that work in English, and it means that I did all my writing in English and stuff like that. And 20 years is a long time to... It's not that I never spoke Dutch, but I would not, but the conversations I would have in Dutch were more sort of practical day-to-day things and not so much, you know, philosophical debates or shit like that. And that's a different register of language. I don't know if I just made sense, but it makes sense in my head. It's how we relate to language, and also has to do with the processes that are happening behind what we are expressing, right? So, yeah. And I think I just lived through a lot of very complex processing and cognitive work and emotional work where English was the language in which I did that work. And so it just kind of took hold.
Hey, it's Max. Thanks for joining us for a Conversational Cuppa, and we'll see you next time.